Lecture 18, The Dalai Lama.
In our last lecture, we talked about the four major schools of Tibetan Buddhism. And at the very end of the lecture, I talked about the Gelug school and the founder of that school, whose name was Tsongkhapa. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk very extensively about Tsongkhapa and his tradition last time, and the reason for that is that we want to dig in this lecture more deeply into the significance of that school in Tibetan history. The Gelug school was represented by the lineage of the Dalai Lamas, and for many people, Tibetan Buddhism today is really personified and represented by the lineage of the Dalai Lamas. So this lecture is a chance for us to focus on probably the most visible single symbol of Tibetan Buddhism in the world, and perhaps the most visible and influential spokesman for Buddhism in any Buddhist tradition. The present Dalai Lama, who is the 14th in the line of Dalai Lamas, received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989 for his peaceful resistance to Chinese rule in Tibet. From his exile in India, the Dalai Lama has traveled around the world to champion the Tibetan cause and present Buddhist solutions to many of the problems that people feel we suffer from in one way or another in the modern world. So for us, in this course, he really functions as a bridge between the ancient cultural traditions of Tibet, the traditions that we've been talking about in the last two lectures, and all of the complex challenges that face people in any modern society in the 20th century. So let's start with a simple question, basic question. Who is the Dalai Lama? Who is this person who personifies for us, for so many of us, the Tibetan tradition? Tibetans believe that the present Dalai Lama is the 14th in a line of incarnations that goes back into the 14th century. And when the 13th Dalai Lama, his predecessor, died back in the mid-1930s, a bunch of Tibetan monks, authorities in Lhasa, and key figures in the government, searched for his reincarnation. Found a little boy up in northern Tibet and designated him as the reincarnation of the 13th Dalai Lama, brought him to Lhasa, and had him educated so that he could serve this function and play this role in the Tibetan tradition. Now, when I tell the story to you this way, the story of reincarnation, of discovering a new representative of an ancient lineage, raises a question for us about Tibetan Buddhism, about an aspect of Tibetan Buddhism that is quite different from anything that you likely to see in other religious traditions. It's the system called the Tulku system, or the system of reincarnation, of passing the authority in a lineage like this down, not from father to son or from teacher to student, but from one incarnation to another, each one of which has to be discovered by some process in the next generation. What is the Tulku system? What is a Tulku? What do we mean when we use this word? The word Tulku was used traditionally to refer to the so-called manifestation body of a Buddha. This is the body that a celestial Buddha manifests in this world. Celestial Buddha, as you know, lives in some celestial realm, a pure land or a heaven, and then manifests a form, a physical form, in this world. Here in the Tibetan context, it's used to refer to the form that a particular saint or a religious leader adopts when he or she is reborn in this world. The Tulku system is quite widespread in Tibetan Buddhism. I first went into my study of Tibetan Buddhism thinking that it was very rare and unusual to discover one of these reincarnations. But I was taught very soon that there actually are lots of incarnations in lots of different communities in Tibet. The way I learned this first was to go and visit a Gelug monastery down in South India where there was a major Tibetan refugee camp, and I had a camera. It was back in the 70s, and there weren't a lot of cameras around, and they asked me if I'd take a picture of all of the tulkus in the monastery. It wasn't a very big monastery. It turned out to be a pretty big group photo. There were at least half a dozen significant tulkus just in that small monastery. So there are lots of tulkus in the Tibetan tradition, and it's a widespread practice to deal in one way or another with the transmission of authority from one generation to the next.